Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, the fifth chapter. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Please be seated. As I mentioned earlier, today is considered Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday in Advent, Gaudete being the Latin word for rejoice. While we consider Advent a penitential season, we pause in our sorrow over our sin in eager anticipation of our Savior's Advent. I don't recall if I mentioned earlier the pink candle or rose-colored candle. Rose symbolizes hope and joy. But this time of the year, this year, perhaps you're wondering what you may have to rejoice about. Perhaps you don't even have the energy to rejoice because you're emotionally exhausted from the fear and fatigue of 9 months of anxiety and the unknown future. Someone suggested on Facebook the other day that perhaps the year 2020 will go down in history as the year lived in the valley of the shadow of death. Virus or not, due to mankind's sinful condition, everyone suffers. Everyone dies. And just as sure as a father disciplines his son, our God, in his rich wisdom, is allowing us to be disciplined. He's testing your faith and mind, exposing all of our false idols, especially our idols of health and safety. He's calling us to repentance and faith so that we trust in him alone, trusting in him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. The year 2020 might be the worst year in your memory, but it is still the year of our Lord, 2020. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Every day of your life belongs to our Lord. Each one of them bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Nothing happens to you apart from God's knowledge. It was before the foundation of the world, God put a plan together for your salvation. And even though it may feel like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, there's nothing to fear. Your good shepherd doesn't send you out into the world alone. A shepherd leads his flock, and your good shepherd leads you in paths of righteousness for his namesake. No matter how bad things appear, no matter how the dark the shadow may appear, a shadow is a shadow. When's the last time you were hurt by a shadow? Jesus is greater than the shadows. He is the light who shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. As you just sang in the fourth stanza of our sermon hymn, so when he comes in glory and the world is wrapped in fear, he will shield us with his mercy and with words of love draw near. The advent of our King on the last day is the day that Christ will lead you out of this valley of pain, suffering, and sorrow. And he will take you to himself in his eternal kingdom. Our Lord God speaks through his prophet Isaiah in our Old Testament text to give hope and good news to a future day of the Jews who are stuck in Babylon. He gives them this good news years before that they are deported into Babylonian captivity, and this is many, many centuries before Jesus is born. But at the same time, our Old Testament text this morning is a message of hope and good news to you and me. It is a message from the pre-incarnate Christ Jesus as he illustrates to us what life looks like in the kingdom of God for all who believe. The first verse of our text, Jesus, makes it clear that we worship a triune God. Isaiah writes, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." The Lord God in our text is God the Father. The Spirit of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. And the anointed one doing the speaking is Jesus Christ. In Hebrew, the word anointed one we pronounce as Messiah. In the New Testament Greek, we pronounce it Christos or Christ. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah, Son of the living God. He is the anointed one. Old Testament kings and priests were anointed with oil. That was how they were commissioned for a task. Well, Jesus was anointed and consecrated for a specific task, the task of dying on the cross to save you from your sins. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven and rested on his head, anointing him into his office. The Father's voice boomed from above for all to declare, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," affirming the fact that Jesus, anointed by the Holy Spirit, was indeed anointed into his high priestly office as Messiah. St. Luke records a time early in Jesus' ministry when he went up to the synagogue and he stood up to read. He read from the prophet Isaiah those exact words that we heard in our Old Testament reading, saying, "The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And when Jesus had finished reading, St. Luke records that he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Fellow redeemed, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Because whether it looks like it or not, you are living under the reign of God's kingdom. You're living in God's kingdom under his reign and rule right now. This is the year of our Lord, 2020, the time of the Lord's favor. It may not look like it. You may be suffering, but you know that you've already been saved from the worst suffering that anyone might have, which is eternal death and damnation. Our Lord's anointed preaches the gospel into your poor spirit, which in turn creates a clean heart in you. It renews a right spirit within you. Jesus binds up your broken heart with the power of his word, releasing you from the captivity of your sinfulness, delivering you from the prison of death and eternal damnation. Jesus was anointed for a specific task, and it was upon that very same head that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit that sinful men anointed him with a crown of thorns. They mocked him, they spit upon him, beat him and nailed him to the cross, all where he paid the wages of your sin. Jesus took your death so that he might give you eternal life. in baptism, all those gifts that he won for you became yours. He gave you the gift of faith, the Holy Spirit, and it was at the font that you were clothed in Jesus' garments of salvation, covering you with the robe of his perfect righteousness. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Regardless of your sufferings in this world and the sufferings and temptations caused by the world, your sinful flesh, and the devil, you are living in God's kingdom. You are living in the year of the Lord's favor, even though it doesn't seem like it. And as we await for Jesus' return on the last day, we're not supposed to sit on our hands and twiddle our thumbs. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The first phrase, rejoice always. Rejoicing is an expression of life in Christ. Even amid your fear and your suffering and your grief, the Christian rejoices, knowing that salvation has been won on the cross. Your salvation is secure. He has won victory over sin, death, and the grave, and clothed you in his robes of righteousness. He will come again in glory to lead you from this dreary shadow of death into his heavenly kingdom. Secondly, pray unceasingly. This doesn't mean you put your head down and pray all day long, but it is an attitude of prayer. It's an attitude of being ever mindful of the love that your Father has for you. God wants to hear your prayers, and he wants to answer your prayers. He knows how helpless you and I are. He desires that we live in joyful dependence of his care and provision in Christ. And especially right now, as difficult as it sounds, give thanks in all circumstances, knowing that the Anointed One binds up your broken heart. He releases you from the captivity of your sinfulness and delivers you from the prison of death and eternal damnation. Rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks in all circumstances, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. But yet you and I are sinful people. We cannot do it as perfectly as we ought. So our Father in heaven has anointed you with the Holy Spirit to empower you to do better. Not that you earn merit or favor by doing these things before your God, but it is God's good and gracious will for your life. We call it the process of sanctification, God making you holy. It's a lifelong process that doesn't reach perfection till after you die. And it's not only that God forgives your sins, but it's also that he enables you to live a Christian life. Live a life before him in righteousness and purity. In baptismal waters, God gave you something along with that robe of righteousness, your garments of salvation. He made you a new creation in Christ, giving you a new will, a new life, a desire to live for God, no longer giving in to the desires of the sinful world, but that you hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. It's a lifelong battle, drowning the old Adam and arising a new creation before your Father in heaven. God has given you the help that you need. He has given you the Holy Spirit to sanctify you and to empower you to do better. St. Paul writes, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters in Christ, it may appear that we are living in the valley of the shadow of death. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Our Lord's anointed one, Christ Jesus, brings to you good news to bind up your broken heart. He releases you from the captivity of your sins. He releases you from the captivity of death and the grave. It may not look like it, but this is a time of the Lord's favor, because your present tense reality is Jesus has forgiven you of your sins and has granted you eternal salvation. This is the time of the Lord's favor, and at the advent of our King on the last day, he will lead you out of this valley of sin and pain and suffering and sorrow and take you home to himself in heaven. Let us pray. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.